Hello, my name is Alicia Kwan.
And my name is Roshni Desai.
Happy Black History Month. This week we'll be spotlighting those in the medical field.
Today we have with us Dara Tambuku. Dara, can you tell us when you graduated from Canon and what you decided to major in?
Yeah, so it's Dara Tacumba, pretty close. We probably should have gone over that in our little previous intro session. But yes, I can tell you a little bit about me. So I graduated from Canon in 2015. So I'm now 23 years old. And so at Canon, I ran track and field. And that was like a fun thing I really liked doing there. So after graduating in 2015, I went on to Cornell University, where I majored in biology and society and minored in nutrition. And a lot of people always ask me what biology and society like means, like, what are you studying with biology and society? And it's basically just the major was created because like a lot of the social issues of our time have like a science basis, or they're like innately biological. So even like with the pandemic, that's a science thing, but there are so many social issues like with the pandemic as well. And like communities of color are being impacted more by the pandemic. So it really combines that and teaches you a lot about the social determinants of health. So and then nutrition, I just like, I don't know. I've always liked like food as fuel and how you can like use food to live longer and perform better like mentally. So I think that's kind of where I got interested in nutrition. So you didn't ask this, but I'm just like giving my activities as well. I did all female a cappella during my years at Cornell, and I was also in student assembly. So that's our student government. I was a representative for arts and sciences, and I was actually president of my freshman dorm as well. So basically really tried to hit the ground running from the minute I hit campus and got there. And so I think I really grew in terms of my leadership and confidence while I was at Cornell. And you know what I've always done for the past like 5 years? Because Canon and Cornell both starts with C's, I literally always like mix them up. Like I'll be like talking about Cornell and be like, yeah, Canon, like I got my degree. It's like, what? It's like, no, that two different places, but you know, I mean, somewhat similar. Okay, so I graduated in 2019 and I did a post-bac at Temple University in advanced health sciences. So yeah, that post-bac was just a year program. So I finished that in May. And so along with that program, I was doing a lot of volunteering around Philadelphia. That's where Temple is. And so I did teaching English as a second language. And I really loved doing that. It was like, I don't know, I just really loved the relationship formed in the classroom. And it gave me a lot of respect for teachers, actually, and all that they do. Because like, definitely teachers, they're not to be like corny, but teachers are definitely heroes. And they have to deal with like every single student and really personalize things every student. So that definitely gave me a lot of respect for teachers. And so that inspired me to apply to a Fulbright scholarship. And so for those who don't know, a Fulbright is basically a scholarship where the US government pays for you to go to a country of your choice. There's like a huge list of countries you can choose from. Mm-hmm. And you do like a community project, and you do either research or teaching English. And since I had done teaching English, I proposed like a project with teaching English. And so I was awarded that this past March, and I was supposed to leave in August, but you know, something called the COVID-19 pandemic happened. So I am still here in North Carolina right now. And it was nice because, I mean, it was obviously that was heartbreaking at first, really, to not be able to go. But I mean, just looking around at the state of the world and all that's happened, like, I'm just like really grateful to be able to have a roof over my head and, you know, my parents and family. Nobody got COVID. Everyone was doing fine. And it was actually really helpful to have, you know, my brother's home and have the whole family at home, especially when studying for the MCAT and taking the MCAT and applying to med school over this these past 6 months, pretty much. It's been nice to have their support in doing that. So yeah, so I guess future plans are, I'm currently right now still in the med application process. So I've been doing a lot of interviews. I do have an acceptance, but I'm still waiting to hear back from all my schools. And then of course I have to do the financial aid and see what's going to be the best option for me. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. And future plans are just to start med school in the fall and hopefully turn into the best physician / teacher / advocate / everything. And then, you know, I like to do my, I always got some side hustles going on. You know, you got to have that So right now I'm trying to, okay. So I do have a YouTube channel and a TikTok. Are they popping? No, but now that the Canon community knows about it, you guys can go ahead and follow, like videos. Maybe allow me to have a side hustle in medical school, because that would be awesome. Because you know, need to make a little money while I'm doing that. So yeah, those are sort of the plans. That's where I've been at, and that's kind of where I'm trying to go right now.
Thank you so much for sharing. I really like this. Oh, RX STEM, like. Fusion, that's so inspiring.
Yes. I think it's so important to have like both of it, to just be well-rounded, like you can really, they go hand in hand.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you can use them to do what you love. It's so exactly. Great.
I also loved your subtle plug for your TikTok and YouTube channel.
I know, I was like, let me just slide that in at the end.
Yeah. What really sparked your inspiration to go into medicine though? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that is actually, it's a long story. I would say it's a lot of things. And actually, my question for you is, does Canon still do wind terms?
Yes. We didn't do it this year because of the pandemic.
Okay, so what's cool is I actually did a wind term at Canon on med school. Like, it was like a medical wind term. So mm-hmm. That was really cool. So, like, we do, like, shadowing, and we have people who are in the medical field come talk to us. I mean, obviously, I was already interested in medicine to do that, but that was like one of the things that made me interested. I think I first got interested when I was actually in middle school. My dad has a lung condition called bronchiectasis, and he was hospitalized for lung complications due to bronchiectasis. And really what I really remember about that and what stood out to me was really the relationship with the physician, the doctor, and my dad, and him taking the time to like find out like specific things about my dad, like in terms of music, and like they would just both talk about that. So it's like kind of like a dire, scary situation, but he was able to really like connect with him and sort of like just put him at ease, and it made the whole family feel at ease. So I think that's the moment where I was like, man, I would really like to be able to take care of people's physical ailments, but also be able to, kind of what you were saying, Alicia, like be able to take in those like other parts of you, like art, music, that you also know, and use it to be able to encourage people as well and connect with them with whatever is going on in their life. So I think with that kind of happened at a young age, and so that's kind of why I sought out more medically related experiences through high school. So with Winterm, I also did an NSLC camp like my junior year of high school, yeah, in the summer, I think. And actually I'm still friends with some of those people to this day. And fun fact about that camp, we had this random guy come talk to us at the camp, and I was like, not that I was like, who is this guy? But I'm like, oh, it's just some dude who's talking to us. But I decided to take a picture with him because he said something about Duke, and I'm like, oh, I'm from North Carolina. Let me take a picture with him. Guess what? It was Dr. Fauci. So now I have a picture.
What?
So literally me and Dr. Fauci are like, we're homies back in the day. Isn't that amazing? And I wish I had listened to what he said, wish I had taken notes, but, you know, here we are. Now we're all definitely listening to everything Fauci say. So, yeah, so I had really cool experiences like that continued to get me interested in medicine. And then, of course, deciding to do a biology and society degree, that also taught me more about, like, kind of how unperfect medicine is. And how there are a lot of obstacles and things to overcome to be able to achieve health equity, basically. Mm-hmm. So, I'll leave it at that. So it's a lot of things that have inspired me to go into medicine, but hopes for the future I'm definitely, like I said, I really like teaching. So I'm definitely interested in doing something with academic medicine, if possible, and being like kind of just like a faculty doctor member, hopefully. That would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's really interesting. It sounded like one of your sparks might have been like your winter at Canon when you did that medical program. But as we're talking about Canon, could you please reflect on your experiences at Canon, and could you talk about some of the controversial events that occurred regarding the race relations there?
Yes, that's an excellent question. I would say that, okay, so reflecting on my Canon experience as a whole, so definitely I was like a painfully shy girl for my time at Canon. So I would say like the first 2 years I spoke like twice, like actually, like I really did not speak. And I think it was like a lot of things, but one thing that happened during like, I think my first month. So I joined Canon in ninth grade. I came to Canon like as a high schooler. And so during my first month, my friends like pulled me aside during lunch and they're like, oh, so like XYZ made a list of the weirdest girls in the grade. You're like number two or something. And I was just like, what? And I literally started crying. So like that kind of set the tone for the times at Canon a little bit in terms of my experience at first. But I think with time, I really like grew in confidence. I think doing track really helped and like getting a lot of friends from that. And then just kind of like TBH being a beast on the track field, that really helped my confidence as well. And then of course, just the older you get, the less you care about what people think and you don't mind speaking your mind. So in terms of like controversies, like to do with Black History Month, actually, we did, I think in my senior year, we did the first ever Black History Month showcase. And is that something you guys still do? And yeah, of course, not now.
We did do that last
year. Yes. So that was the first ever one that we did. And I think I just like read two poems or something like that. But I think the controversy there was just that the student body was very annoyed. Like it just wasn't something that they wanted to be there to hear. They just really, you could tell people didn't want to be there. People were saying that we were brainwashing them. Simply by just speaking about Black history, it's brainwashing. It just, there's no connect there. How is that brainwashing? So that was really the issue there. And I think that was really a time where people hated, just one thing I noticed was that people hated the word diversity. I remember because we would always have, what are those things called? Community meetings? Isn't it called community? Yeah, we would always have community meetings like about, well, not always, but like we had a few community meetings about diversity and people would always be like, oh, diversity, like literally hated it. And it's so funny because, I mean, I think now the world is trying to move towards move towards diversity and inclusion, but more towards belongingness, which is where like, yeah, which is where it's like, oh, we don't want you just for your diversity so that you can be exotic and foreign. It's like you belong, like you can be completely who you are. And it's not like you're just here to fit a quota. So that was definitely not where we were at those times during my high school experience. So there was definitely a lot of backlash to anything that had to do with celebrating your heritage or celebrating your Black skin or even learning about it. That's just not something that people really wanted to do. And I think that takeaways from that were, I guess, really learning how to be confident in your own skin, not to be like, of course, corny, of course, but like kind of not letting other people's comfort level dictate how comfortable you are with yourself. Because like back then, I say back then, but honestly, even today, like it's really, we're still on this journey. So back then, today, people aren't comfortable with having uncomfortable conversations about racism, but I guess you still have to do those things.
Yes, I 100% agree. I see Canon trying to like do that. You belong here, push for equality as opposed to just bringing in people. So yeah, I definitely see that in the world as it's, so thank you so much for sharing. I really appreciate that. Last question. As a Black woman, what are some of the struggles you face in a predominantly white male STEM career choice?
Yeah. So I think I can only like kind of speak to it just because I'm not like actually in the medical field yet. So I'm definitely lucky to have had a lot of Black role models within the medical field that are like close to me, like in terms of like cousins and siblings and stuff like that. So that I'm really lucky with that. But from what I've heard, it's kind of like, there's like a saying that if you're going to be like a Black doctor, you always have to be wearing your white coat. Cause if you walk into a room, they're going to assume that you're not the doctor, like automatically, or sometimes people will even ask for a different doctor. That's actually one of the things, like right now I'm going through the interviews and they want you to do like scenario questions. So they're like, oh, what would you do if somebody If you walk into a room and somebody's like, I don't want you as your as my doctor because you're Black. So like, they want to like know how you act with that. So of course, these are things that, come up. I actually like wrote something out for this because I just feel like this is like, you know, a big question, but so there's a lot of racism in medicine and that's not a secret. So, let me just start here. In relation to healthcare, several studies have shown that people of color tend to experience poor health outcomes. This is due to a myriad of social factors that affect not only the quality of healthcare that people of color may receive, but also certain social circumstances they may face outside of the clinic, such as housing discrimination. Underrepresentation of different races in medicine also contributes to race-related inequities in health and healthcare. Without a diversity of thought and lived experiences present, the nuances needed to both understand and care for the totality of patients' health can be lacking. These consequences of underrepresentation can be severe. For example, the pregnancy-related mortality rates of Black women are disproportionately higher than any other racial groups, partially due to the fact that doctors may believe that Black women can handle pain better than their non-Black counterparts. Additionally, in the Black community in particular, historic medical racism still causes many members of the community to distrust doctors and avoid seeking medical care. Thus, I see understanding race and grappling with the legacies of racism, particularly medical racism, as inseparable from understanding and addressing the inequities in healthcare we see today. My lived experiences as a minority woman, along with my past work in medical offices, has given me insight into these issues and fueled my desire to address these inequities. And so I just had to write that one out because, you know, important question. But I think, luckily, I think a lot of medical schools, I mean, they've explicitly, so it's really interesting, like comparing it to, say, a high school that doesn't really want to explicitly say Black Lives Matter versus almost every, I think every single medical school I've interviewed at has been like straight up Black Lives Matter. And they're saying we are not implementing diversity curriculum. We are not implementing conscious and biases curriculum. We are implementing anti-racism curriculum. So I think that's kind of where the future of medicine is moving towards. And so that's definitely something nice to see. I would say that, like I said, there's a lot of racism in medicine, but luckily, currently people are trying to eradicate it, you know, but it definitely is a broken system for sure. And I guess I'll say that if anything, knowing these challenges exist, definitely it's just more motivation to enter the medical field. And yeah, I think that's my answer.
Thank you so much for sharing.